Hi.
Good morning, everybody. The scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 24, and we'll be reading what I think is the whole psalm, which is verses 1 to 10. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, for the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. You may be seated.
And you guys can be seated too. Whoa, that was interesting. These are my young adult friends, in case you were wondering. So I'm not completely lonely. I know there's some of you who are worried about me. But these are some of the people that I hang out with. And I'm excited that I get to share them with you today. And right now, at this time, I'm going to lift up some of the prayers, some of the concerns of our church community and our community and our world. So let's go into a time of prayer together. Heavenly Father, it is such an unbelievable privilege to be able to come before your throne room and to worship you and be able to pray to you and to know that you are concerned about the cares of our lives, and you hear that every one of our prayers, Lord, and that you're a good Father who loves to give good things to your children. And so, Lord, as your children, we lift up the following prayers. Lord, Betty Peterson, I pray for her ultrasound that she's going to be having on Wednesday. I pray that there would be a good result from that. I pray that you would calm any fears in her as she goes through that. And Lord, we continue to lift up some others in our community who are hurting. We bring before you once again Ashley Koschick and Gracie Barr and Jim Olson, Lord, and the various physical ailments that they're dealing with, Lord. You give them grace, give them healing in the name of Jesus. And Lord, at the news that Renee Sobolewski has passed away this week, Lord, we pray for Frank and the family as they go through this time of grieving. We pray that we as a church would be able to lift up the Sobolewski family in. And now at the news that Frank Sobolewski has just been diagnosed with lung cancer, Lord, it's an especially difficult time for him, Lord, having just lost his wife and now being faced with this difficult diagnosis. I pray that as a church family, we would lift him up and support him in any way that we can and be the hands and feet of Jesus to him. Thank you, Lord, for the National Day of Prayer that we had this week. Thank you that your believers throughout this nation gathered together in across denominations just to meet and to pray and to cry out to you, Lord, and to repent of some of the things that that have held us back from being the church that we're supposed to be in our communities. And pray, Lord, that from that prayer time that revival is beginning in your church, Lord. And I pray that that there would be greater church unity in this nation as a result of that time. And really pray for your church, your bride, your beloved. At this day and age, Lord, pray that we would walk in a way that's worthy of the calling that we've been given. Walk in a way that's worthy of Jesus Christ. Thank you for all of these people, Lord, in this room today, and I ask that they would be blessed from what they're about to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, you recognize this song at all? Anybody recognize this one yet? It was Darren's generation, but it's still true. The Who. There's a popular song by The Who called My Generation. Because, and the reason I wanted to play this is because today we're going to be talking about my generation. Disinterested. Apathetic. Non-committal. Disengaged. Skeptical. Are these some of the words that come into your minds when you think about my generation called the millennials? Now, the millennials are people who were born in the area from like 1982 to 2004. So that includes me. A lot of people talk about my generation, but how many people who are talking about my generation are from my generation? Today, we're going to get an opportunity to hear from the young adults who represent my generation. And so wouldn't it be nice to just hear about millennials from them in their own words? So that's what we're going to do today. And wasn't it nice to hear that song? Yeah, I'll take that. Okay, so I'm going to introduce you to some of these people. Yeah, that's obviously. Okay, so I'm going to introduce you to some of the people in no particular order. The first person is Daniel Cunningham. Yeah, is going to come up here. And Sarah Keller, whom you just heard from scripture reading. They're going to take seats here. And they're going to be part of this panel, and I'm going to ask them questions. Allison Enns. Harsha Vinta. Kristen Friesen, and Wayne Schrock. This is going to be our young adult panel for this morning. And what I'm going to do is I'm basically going to ask some questions so that you guys get to know them more, because there are probably faces up here that you don't know very well, because they might even attend different churches, but we're all part of this young adults fellowship that meets on Thursday nights. And so you'll get a chance to hear from them, but also we'll ask a little bit of questions about my generation. So, oh yeah, good idea. Great idea. People want to see Wayne. So I'm just going to hand the mic, and you guys are going to, oh, this is nice. Preach from a seat. That was good. Okay, so the first thing that I want to know is you'll say your name again, your age, if you feel comfortable, and your current work or school.
Okay. Well, my name is Daniel Cunningham, as he said. I'm 17, no, 23, and I work for a company called Central Pipelines.
Sorry. My name's Sarah Keller. I'm turning 25 for the first time this year in July, so I get to start counting back next year, which is exciting. And I am, right now I'm working at From the Grind Up in Fort Frances. It's a hipster coffee shop. It's great. I love it.
My name is Allison Enns, and I teach grade 2 and 3 at Donald Young School in Emo.
I'm Kristen Friesen, and I'm 30, and I'm a nurse in Fort Frances. I'm also applying to become a missionary with the team organization.
I'm Harsha Vinda, and I am 27 this year, and I work in the Riverside Healthcare Facilities, Fort Frances. So yeah, I'm from India, by the way.
My name, as most of you know, is Wayne Schrock. I will also to the answer to the nickname of Willard, and I am 25, and I work at Shannon's.
You might as well hang on to that microphone there, Wayne, because we're going to come back around. So my next question for you guys is, how long have you been coming to the Thursday Night Young Adults Fellowship, and how did you start coming?
I've been coming for about 3 years now, and I started coming because one of our fantastic young adult leaders, Carol, invited me.
I believe it's been a few weeks or months, probably. And Christine, who is the one who introduced me to this a great adult group, and I'm enjoying it. Thank you.
I've been coming kind of on and off for about 7 years, and I'm sure I had friends who were attending at that time who invited me to come.
I've been coming for a year, and I started coming around the time I was wanting to be a part of the Covenant Church, and so I was trying to get more involved.
I've been coming for 5 years, and I started coming because I worked at Safeway for a summer, and I wasn't going to church, and lack of Christian community was killing me. So Estella hooked me up.
I think I've been coming for about a year, a little bit longer than a year, something like that. A couple weeks less than my sister, anyways.
Oh, and how did you guys get?
Oh, how did I come? Oh, yeah, good question. My sister actually was going to this thing on Thursday, and I didn't know what it was. And then she told me, oh, it's a young adult group. So I said, okay, cool, I'll go too.
Oh, yeah. So I was just reminded of a game that we sometimes play at young adults. When there's a new person who comes, we go around the circle and we share our names. But sometimes we play this game, which is Canadian or American. And the new person has to go around the circle and guess which people are Canadians and which ones are Americans. So why don't we just play a short little game of that right now? So let's start with Dan Cunningham. Is he, how about raise your hand if you think he's Canadian? Are you Canadian?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good job for all you who raise your hand. Okay.
How's this going to work for Harsha?
Well, good one. Okay, so Sarah Keller, Canadian or American? Raise your hand if you think she's Canadian. Oh, even more hands. And
painfully.
And yes, yes, she's Canadian. We'll keep rolling down. Allison Enns, is she Canadian? Raise your hand. Okay, yep. People are pinpointing it. Okay, Kristen Friesen, is she Canadian? Raise your hand. She also is, yes. And then Harsha, is he Canadian? There's one, there's a few hands. Are you actually a Canadian citizen now?
In the process of being a okay. Permanent residency. But,
we'll give you half credit for that.
But
yeah. Half credit for that. And then Wayne Schrock, is he Canadian? Well, maybe I'll make it a little more difficult. Is he a dual citizen? Raise your hand. He is not, right? Is that correct?
Correct.
Correct. Some of his siblings are, I think, but not him. Okay. Well, that was a fun little game. Don't worry, we won't go through the entire congregation and play this. We don't want to make you feel pressured. Anyways, okay, so now I'm going to ask questions to kind of dig a little deeper. This one is also for everybody. How have you been growing in your relationship with Jesus lately?
Growing in my relationship with Jesus lately has been really exciting and yet kind of scary at the same time. And God has really been teaching me a lot lately, but a couple things really stand out. One would be that I really need to expand my comfort zone, hence the reason I'm up here. This is not my thing. And also that I just need to learn to trust him, which those two really go hand in hand. And one way that he's been getting me to expand my comfort zone is by helping out with teens on Sunday night. And being something like that is so far out of my comfort zone, it's just really gotten me to learn to rely on him more, because I know that on my own I'm going to screw it all up. But I know that God can do amazing things through ordinary people, and we just have to be willing to trust him and do what he says, which is really, really hard at times. And another way that he's been getting me to trust him is even with my finances. The last year or so, it's been really cool to see money show up just at the right time. Just lately, earlier this year, I needed some money to cover a bill. And out of nowhere, a check showed up in the mail one day, a reimbursement check from the clinic here in town here for a bill that I had paid to them last year sometime. And I have no idea, you know, why they sent me that reimbursement check, what it was for, but it was really cool. So yeah, I'm just really excited to see what God has for me in the future.
Same question?
Yeah, same question.
Okay. I would definitely strongly say that I'm active in, especially in praying to God and all, because I find it is very important in my life, and I begin to understand that I am nothing without Him, and I truly believe that He's the true vine, and I'm the branch, and without Him, I can do anything. So today I'm here is just because of Him, and I really thank Him for what He did in my life. It was a very big struggle for me to begin with when I came into the knowing the Christ, because I came from a Hindu background back in India. So it was a struggle, a lot of persecutions from families and everything, but I would strongly, God is helping me to stand strongly, and He helped me, showing in my life, for blessing me, and people are seeing, especially my family, seeing spiritual growth in me, and I've become an example to them. So and it is so important for me to be in His presence and to always look at Him, and because I strongly believe that my strength comes from Him. So I think I am active in that way. Thank you.
And we had a night where we cooked Indian food, and then Harsha shared his testimony at Young Adults, and it was a really awesome night. If you ever get the chance to sit down with him and hear his testimony of how Jesus saved him from his Hindu background, it's really an incredible story. So just want to say that. Kristen?
So in the last few months, as I said, I'm applying to become a missionary, and since that time, I've really just actually felt attacked, just with different doubts and just lots of things. So, but I was blessed to be start this Bible study for the armor of God, and I've just been really encouraged, again, especially in prayer, and that can help activate our armor of God, and just it's really the base, and the Word of God is our foundation, and so that's just been really helpful.
And one of the things that God has been showing me recently is what it means to be broken as a Christian. I think that God desires that we come before Him broken, and that we surrender that brokenness to Him, and then He can more readily use us, and He can mold us into who He wants us to be.
What I've been learning over the past year, if we're being honest, is that when God shakes literally everything up and you're kind of standing on the edge of a cliff and being like, what is going on? God doesn't tell you what's going on. He reminds you of who He is. Towards the end of last year, I started reading the book of Job. And in chapter 37 of Job, Job basically says to God, okay, here is everything that I've done. If I've done something wrong, if I've done something to deserve this, just tell me and I'll correct it. And it would have been so easy for God to be like, okay, Job, to be honest, Satan asked for permission to go after you, and I gave him that. It like literally that easy. You don't need the rest of the book of Job. But instead, God reminds Job of his character and who he is. He reminds him of the power that he has, and just what he's done and what he's capable of doing. And so I'm learning that in my most desperate moments of screaming at a ceiling, which legitimately happened, asked Estella, legitimately happened, God doesn't, he's not going to wake up and be like, yo, this is why. He's going to be like, just trust that I'm going to get you out of this storm, because I've gotten you out of the storm before. So yeah.
Mine's a little boring compared to most people's here, but for a long time, I guess I read Mere Christianity when I was younger, and that kind of set me on a path of loving philosophy and intellectualism and kind of why I believe, instead of getting to what Christianity actually is in a relationship. It's not just a head thing. It's actually more about your heart. The head is important, but the heart's important too. So I guess I kind of went down to basics in the past few months, like just reading the Bible and actually asking God to show himself to me instead of trying to find him myself through, you know, logic or math or whatever it may be. So I actually enjoy this topic that we're speaking on in apologetics a lot. But yeah, that's mostly it, getting back down to just, you know, being in the Bible and asking God to show himself and reveal himself to me instead of me just trying to find him all the time.
Okay, so this next question is going to be For just Sarah and Dan are going to answer this one. But according to the Barna Research Group, 6 in 10 young people will leave the church permanently or for an extended period of time starting at the age of 15. 6 in 10. And some would, you know, many would call that a crisis. And I've heard many, many people offer many different reasons as to why they think that millennials are leaving the church in such large numbers. But I want to ask you guys, why do you think that our peers are leaving the church? This is for Sarah and Dan.
I'm just going to intro to Sarah because she did lots more research on it than I did. But last night I spent probably a good hour at about 3 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't sleep because I woke up and I was like, oh, I got to answer this question tonight. Today. So anyways, I went through probably, 30 different websites and to see if my answer kind of sufficed. And I got a whole bunch of peripheral things like, you know, they're teaching evolution in schools now and that kind of takes away from Genesis. So then we can't believe Genesis, thus, you know, kind of falls into the place, well, we can't trust the preacher, we can't trust the church, et cetera, or somebody says something bad to somebody and they get offended and then they just leave the church because all churches are the same, right? Little things like that. But then I kind of found, for me, I guess, at the last website I read, kind of a little groggy, but mostly what he was saying was that the core issue is actually a heart issue, and it's kids who are coming to church, and they've been there their whole life, but they haven't actually truly experienced like the relationship with Christ in the same way that you're supposed to, you know, like be on fire for God, or they've gone to all the things, but they just haven't quite experienced it yet, sort of thing. So I think that it's mostly down to, once you get past the peripheral things and the little, you know, outer circle, when you get to the heart of the circle, it's like the kids haven't experienced Jesus the way Jesus was meant to be experienced in a relationship with him. Mostly. So now Sarah's going to go deeper than that.
I'm not a scientist. I wasn't good at science in school. That wasn't my thing. But I had a theory, and I thought it was a theory that was pretty well-founded considering my experience in ministry and just talking with people in general. But instead of just coming here and spouting off that theory with nothing to back it up, I asked. So that 2 weeks ago on Thursday night when I found out the questions, and I was like, okay, I'm going to answer that. I created a survey for people who had left the church, and there was 3 questions, and the first question was, did you grow up in the church? The second one was, why did you leave? And the third one was, have you come back? If no, why not? If yes, like, if no, what would bring you back? And if yes, why did you? And I sent that to my friends in England and Texas and Alabama and British Columbia and here and all over the place. I was like, can you just share the survey and not tag me in it so that we can keep this on the down low? And they didn't. I got 75 responses. And I think, yeah. And I think that we really desperately want to say that young people are leaving the church because they don't believe anymore. And I think that they're, like, it definitely is they grow up in the church, but they don't realize what they believe. It's just kind of something that they do. And I think there's credibility to that in a lot of cases. But at the same time, saying that their theology changes or saying that they just fall out of believing, we like to say that because we subconsciously realize it takes the onus off of us. My theory was that in the church today, there is a need for relational and emotional intimacy and vulnerability that isn't being met. And I was drastically proven right. And it broke my heart reading those responses because majority, like over 50 of the respondents had grown up in the church. And I was getting responses from them being like, it was too clicky, which is something that we hear a lot. Or a lot of people left and I felt like I was being left behind. Or a lot of pressure was being put on me to be perfect. That I come to church and it feels like a show, but not that just the people on stage feels like a show. The people in the crowd feels like a show. It feels like everybody's lives are perfect and I don't have a safe place to ask questions. I don't know who to raise my doubts to without feeling like I'm going to be shamed for it. I don't know who to come to about the sins I'm struggling with without being shamed for it. I don't know who to talk about my mental illness because I'm afraid somebody's going to be like, you need to pray more, you need to have more faith. My mom is not a young adult because I am, but she struggles with this just in general in the churches that she's gone to, because she's like, people aren't reaching out to me. Like, I want to be at church and I want to be involved, but people aren't inviting me in. Like, people sit with the same people at potlucks every week. You say hello and catch up with the same people at church every week. When I've missed church for a week or two, nobody calls me to ask where I've been. And I think that if we worked on developing that emotional and relational intimacy, which is frightening, terrifying, but if we started sharing our testimonies more, if we started being more honest about how our week has been, how our day has been, if we started revealing our struggles and giving our teenagers and youth a safe place to open up and realize that, no, we don't have it all together. I was really encouraged by one of the respondents, because they left actually because their boyfriend, the person they were with, didn't like the fact that they were going to church, so they stopped. But she came back because even though she left and even though she was bragging about her sins, the people who were in her youth group by that time, who were young adults, didn't stop loving her. They kept reaching out to her, and so when she was ready to come back, she knew that she'd have a safe place to go to. We don't stay in places that we don't feel like we're wanted, ever. And if people don't feel like they're wanted, they're not wanted in the church, they're not going to stay.
All right. So now we've heard some responses to why people are leaving the church. But these people have not left the church. And all the young people that you see in here today have not left the church. So from the positive side, this question is going to be for Sarah, Kristen, and Harsha. What are the reasons why you have stayed in the church?
Now, by all accounts and purposes, I shouldn't be sitting here. I grew up in a non-Christian family. My mom only started bringing me to church when I was 3 because 2 different people told her it was time to start bringing Sarah to church. That was it. And still, growing up, non-Christian family, went to a public school. Like, you know, I should have washed out, if we're going to use those terms. But people loved me well. The church loved me well. Like, and I don't know, like, I think of me and I think of an experience of one of my best friends, and I was an extrovert, so maybe that made it easier that I was so outgoing and so it was easy to draw me into things. As I look at my experience and one of my best friend's experiences, parallel, the exact same thing. We knew the exact same people. We went through the exact same experiences, and I'm still here, but she's not. And so the church loved me well and people invested in me, which meant that when it came to raising my doubts, I knew that there was people I could go to voice them. When I was struggling with depression and thoughts of self-harm, I knew that there was people that I could go to who wouldn't turn me away. When I started opening up about my struggle with porn, because secrets kill you, and that's why Satan loves to use secrets, but really, when we're struggling with these things, we should be able to open up, because that's where the victory is won. There were people there to support me and invest in me, and so that's why I stayed.
I'm going to kind of echo Sarah, because that's what I feel like. I did grow up in a Christian home, and really I think it was a couple years ago when I moved to Iowa for 5-6 months, where I went there and I didn't know anybody. So, I mean, I had these thoughts of like no one would necessarily know if I went to church. So, I mean, just kind of making that decision that I would go to church, but I kind of thought about it then, and for me, the church was this place of fellowship and friends and people encouraging me, and so I knew that I wanted to have that wherever I went in the future, so.
First of all, excuse me, I didn't prepare for this question, this question was given to me a few days ago, but just for one reason, I told to myself that I don't want to prepare and I don't want to give you any prepared answer to impress somebody or anything. I really want to speak from my heart, and I asked God, please talk to me when I was here. So whatever I'm saying here is actually from my personal practical experience, what I had. So I came from India 4 years ago, and I was in 3 different places in Ontario. I don't give the names because most of the many of us don't know about it. So 3 different places, it's like a triangle, I would say. So when I came here, I already accepted Christ, and I don't have any family here. I think the first thing I have seen after coming here is like when I went to a church. I was so lonely at the beginning. I didn't have a church when I came to Canada, and I was really really so stressful and so emotionally. I was homesick and everything, and then that is the time I really wanted to go to a church, which I used to go to in when I was in India, which in a different circumstances because of the social pressure there. I tried going to the church without telling my parents. However, I thought I will be having a freedom after coming here, and then I can go to any church. So, but however, because in the beginning I don't know the place, I don't know how people react, and I don't know the culture is new, weather is new, everything is pretty kind of shocking in the beginning. So at this time, I find a church from my college. There's a chaplain, and then he advised me a church, and then I went. I don't bring the name, but I went to the church and. And then I find people are so welcoming, and they asked my well-beings, and they're really interested in me, and they asked me, they showed their love and kindness. That really, really showed me, which I never really exposed in India, because it's kind of growing there, but it's still, but the hospitality which I found here is absolutely, that made me to feel so good about it. And then I started going continually, and then... And you know, that really helped me to go back to the church. I really waited to go to the church on Sundays because people are really, really interested and helped me in growing in even spiritually too. And they become a family. So that's one of the reasons. And the second reason is I do need definitely a motivation and encouragement at times because nobody is perfect, and I'm not too, obviously. We have some ups and downs, and I have, because since I'm also away from family, and I have some situations that I do need somebody to share with, and I don't know whom to look at except the church, because the church, I find that they are at least, I don't say that I'll get immediate response, at least I feel that there is somebody I can go and talk, and I can share my, my pain or my, whatever, what I'm thinking, whatever my concerns. At least I'm getting back response. They are praying for me. And, you know, there is a kind of a hope, and there is an encouragement there. So I would take these two reasons. This is not just the only reasons, but these two reasons have mainly attracted me to be in the church continually wherever I go. Regardless which is three different places, wherever I go, I find that. And I really thank God for that. People are showing the love of God, and that is really important, I believe. Thank you.
All right, and now I'm going to go to a last question here, and this might be one where you want to take note. I'm going to ask, and this is for everybody, what is one thing that people can be praying for you about? We'll start with Wayne.
I guess that's that I would be more bold in sharing my faith.
Okay, maybe a little personal, maybe one thing I definitely want my parents to accept Christ. That's so important for me because I would be more than happy if I really wanted to say one day that I and my family can serve the Lord alone. And so you can probably pray about for my family's salvation. And secondly, I'm getting married this coming August. That is, unfortunately, she's not a believer yet, but I expressed my testimony with her, and she accepted it, and she didn't mind that I'm going to a church, and then she's also willing to come with me to the church. So hopefully, I'm praying about it, that she also accepts Christ, and that makes my life easy.
I would ask for prayer just for being at work and just being a light to more like my coworkers there. I mean, we talk to the patients there all the time too, but I just feel a need for my coworkers to see Jesus in me. And so just to be able to live in a way that honors God mostly, but be able to open up and speak when the Lord guides that way, especially with a one-on-one situation. So.
Well, since I teach in Canada, I still have about 2 months of school left. And this year, I've been given a class that's very, very challenging, just a lot of high-need students and like children that have been abused. And so just pray that I can have wisdom with how to deal with the needs of my class, and that I can show them that they're loved and cared about.
I was going to pass this off to Dan because I realized I hadn't thought about this question, but apparently he doesn't have an answer either. So just that, and this echoes what's already been said a few different ways, just being intentional about sharing Jesus and acknowledging that sometimes sharing Jesus doesn't look like giving them a 5-point Romans road, this is how you get into heaven spiel, but loving them and investing in them and building something that's going to last and not just being like, oh, hey, that's a thing. Yeah, I mentor like 4 different girls right now, and I'm reading through Revelation with one of them and Luke with another one of them, and just trying to, so yeah, figuring out how to mentor them well and love them well and to build them up into people who have that relationship with Jesus that will last past this period of their life would be great.
I guess I didn't have an answer either, according to Sarah. So I did say that. Oh, but I guess I was trying to find a different answer than everybody else as I was listening to them all. But I guess, you know, following the Great Commission is not a bad thing either. And, you know, praying, or I would like prayer for also being a light, evangelizing, speaking my faith and knowing where to care for other people and also to show love for people. So I guess I can kind of sum it up in just everything they said is good.
All right. Can I get a round of applause for the young adult panel? So thank you guys so much for sharing. We really appreciate that. I'm sure a lot of people in here are very blessed to know you a little better and to hear from you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the young adult ministry that is going on in this church. And thank you that that you are still at work in every generation. And just as in the scripture that was read before, let us be, God, a generation that seeks your face. And Lord, I pray that out of this discussion and being able to see faces and hear voices, that there would be a lot less complaining about our generation, a lot more praying for our generation and investing in our generation. And thank you so much, Lord, for these people who are on this panel and for the prayer requests that they have lifted up. I pray that people would start praying for them and pray that you would answer those, begin answering those even now, Lord. Now, Lord, as we go into a time of communion and remembering your death on the cross, I pray that you'd be preparing our hearts for that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. No.